I'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 9 through 24, 24 through 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one's received the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we are for an imperishable crown.
This here. Good morning. How's everyone doing? I am Donnell Campbell. I'm obviously not Brother Gray, as the Grays are traveling this week, and so we want to keep them in our prayers for safe passage and an enjoyable time away today. But I believe he's with us online. And so, I just want to say welcome to those of you who are here also as visitors. We here at Glenpool Church of Christ, we're a body of believers who long to belong, learn, and serve. And if you're looking for a home, I'd like to offer Glenpool Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and worship with us. We would love to have you. And so, that being said, that is my intro, and I'm going to move forward. First and foremost, let me just say also thank you to Roman for the reading of the word. I'm always amazed and inspired by these young men who in the congregation get up here and so courageously do the work of the Lord. It's an inspiration to me, and I certainly need it, particularly on today. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come at this time with bowed heads and humble hearts. We're truly thankful to you for this day and the many blessings that you've already bestowed on us. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to come and to give you praise and worship that you so truly deserve. And it's our prayer, Father, that you'll open our hearts and our minds that we'll readily receive thy word. Help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, I ask that you'll give me ready recollection of the things that I've studied, that I'll be able to present in such a way that you'll get the glory. And we just thank you and we ask you to forgive us what we may have sinned and fallen short. And we ask this prayer and all other prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about the race of faith. The race of faith. And my lesson will be coming from the book of Hebrews. And so, just for a little bit of clarity, the book of Hebrews is a pictorial language. And basically what I mean by that, this language, as we read it, it causes you to create a picture in your mind. Okay? And so, when we consider this that we're going to be looking at this morning from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the picture will become very clear real quick, I believe. But let me also say that the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christians back in that day and time who were struggling with their faith. Okay? And so the Hebrew writer was trying to and is trying to encourage them to remain faithful, regardless of the things that they were going through. They were being persecuted and mistreated at that time. And when you consider all of this, it's pretty much like it is today, okay? And so, if you don't mind, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read the verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so today I want to talk to you about running the race of faith. And as mentioned earlier, throughout this book, we see the emphasis is being placed on staying steadfast in our faith. The warnings against developing unbelief is in there in Hebrews 3. Then there's the need for faith that endures. And then the example of those who had this enduring faith in chapter 11, and we'll talk a little bit about them as well. So this same emphasis continues with our own lives of faith today. The picture is that of a long race. And you can see on this slide up here. And I just want you to imagine that is the starting line right there. And there is no end in sight. And that is what we are up against as Christians. That's what they were up against back then. That is what we are up against today. This picture is of a long race. And then the Bible goes on and it says that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And right away, this scripture kind of puts in my mind anyway a race, and I'm thinking about at the starting line, and I'm envisioning a crowd of people, just like I am today, right now, looking at you all, and you're looking at me as a spectator in this race, and you're looking at me as how I will perform in this particular race. And so, these witnesses are the men and women who, according to Scripture, have made it to the Hall of Faith. These are individuals who have lived a life, endured persecution, and they have remained faithful unto death, and they will receive their reward. But let me just say a little bit about them as well. These individuals also I'm talking about them as witnesses and as spectators, but in the Greek, the word martus describes them as witness or martyrs, individuals who died in their race, okay? And so, although they lived a life of faith, they did not see the fulfillment of the promise. Okay, and that could very well be the case today with a lot of folk as well. So what the Hebrew writer is trying to say here is that these men and women of faith, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, Noah, and so many others, they testify to the reward of enduring faith. And one of the things that I can say too, that I believe the scriptures is saying to us, and I can say to you today, that God is faithful. No matter what we go through, if we would remain faithful, then God will do his part and he will reward us accordingly. I'm going to try to be as eloquent as Brother Gray as I move around this here and click this clicker and move my notes and turn pages and everything. But if I don't charge it to my head and not my heart. Amen. And then last but not least, let me just say this also. I may say amen a time or two. And that's just validation, confirmation, whatever the case may be. And if you are so inclined, it's okay for you to say amen too. And so I appreciate that. Okay. All right, so what we want to do is we want to look at and talk about what it looks like in running this race of faith and the things that we need to do. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to lay some things aside. There's that picture of the Rays, and it's a little late, but I'll show it to you anyway. And I want you to see this guy's taking off in the blocks, and they're preparing for the race. But there's that cloud of witnesses, those spectators in the crowd that's watching the race. Or for some even envision that these spectators are in heaven and they're looking down on us, okay? And that's fine and dandy. But the emphasis may be just a little bit different, okay? And so we need to lay some things aside. And when I say that, here's another individual who is running this race. And it's interesting that the Hebrew writer would use an analogy, use running as an analogy. But when you consider the serious runner, and there may be some here in my hearing today that run on a regular. And I want you to consider the runner's mindset when their anticipation is to win. The attire that they wear, you know, and I am an individual who likes to, when I speak, I like to use props and everything, as some of you mentioned, asked me earlier. But I didn't come in a suit today. I didn't think it would enhance the presentation if I came in this outfit right here. But I want you to see how this presents, because this allows the ease of movement. Believe it or not, as preparing for this lesson, I found out that the weight of material breathes, the weight of the shoes, all of these things are important in running this race, okay? And it could be the difference between winning and losing for some. And so when we consider this uniform that this individual wears, we must also lay some things aside according to Scripture. We must put some things that are holding us back and weighing us down aside. I want you to consider Luke chapter 21, verse 34. There the Bible reads, says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation or carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap." And so these are the warnings that we're provided when we come into this race, this spiritual race, weighed down with the concerns and the worries of this world. And I want you to consider also the things that have been mentioned, the carousing and the dissipation or drunkenness. But also look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." You see, when you consider all of these things listed, it makes the race very difficult, if not impossible. When we are running this race of faith, which is a spiritual race, it's enough to be Christ-like in today's society, okay? But then when you consider all these other things mentioned in here in the passage, it almost makes it impossible, because when we are out in the world, we are trying to, one, live a life that aligns with Christ, but also we are also living a life that speaks to others as we try to bring others to Christ. And it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, if we look like the rest of the world, doing the things that they are doing. And so it's not easy. Trust me, I'm not standing here. You know, I'm a very imperfect individual standing here giving you the word of God. I'm just his mouthpiece this morning, and I'm trying just like you. But I can tell you now, it's not easy. But the encouragement is that we will remain faithful regardless of what we are confronted with. And we must also throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. And when you consider this, there are so many sins that can entangle us. all sin entangles us. But in this particular passage that I read to you, the emphasis is placed on the sin of unbelief. Keep in mind who the audience is when the Hebrew writer wrote this. He's trying to encourage them to be faithful regardless of what they were going through. And so that's my message to us today, is to be faithful regardless of what we're going through, as an unbelieving heart is a sinful heart, according to Scripture, Hebrews chapter 3 and 12. Also, we find out that if we no longer believe, the race is already lost. And I want you to think about that for a moment. As a runner, if a runner feels like that they can't win or they're not going to win, how do you think that's going to impact their performance? And not just a runner, but anybody for that matter. If we feel like a loser before we ever get started, how effective will we be and how will our performance look? So I want you to consider that, and then also consider this. He that believeth on him, the Bible says, well, John 3:16 first said that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Drop down to verse 18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay? So if we are running this race and we are unbelieving in our efforts, we've already lost. So I want to encourage you, and I'm hopeful that I'm encouraging someone today, in particular myself. You know, if I stood here and told you from this day last year all the way to this very moment of the things that I have experienced in my personal, we wouldn't have time, number one. But for me to be standing here and glorifying God in such a way that I, you know, to be his mouthpiece, that's truly a blessing to me. And you can't imagine how I feel, because he feels that I'm worthy to be here. But I want you to know that when I consider from a year ago to today, and I'm standing right here preaching the word of God, it's truly amazing. But at the same time, it's validating to me that God will see you through whatever you're going through. And if you remain faithful and steadfast, you too can stand in there and you can do the will of God in such a way. And I'm hopeful in such a way that it would please him as well. Okay, so keep that in mind as we run in the race. The next one I want to look at is we need to have perseverance. And that's just, you know, for simple folk like me, perseverance, what is all of that? It's just stick-to-itness. Okay, stick to it. Finish. Okay? And so the Bible says, let us run it with perseverance, the race that was marked out for us. The race is not, well, first and foremost, let me just say this. My race is not your race. Your race is not my race. The race that has been marked out for you is yours. And the encouragement is that you would stand firm on the word of God, and that you would stay steadfast and run that he has given you. Because see, in this the trials and tribulations and the things that we encounter in life, that is nothing but training and development for where God is trying to get us to. And I don't, you know, I may not need as much training in this area, but I may need a whole bunch over here. And vice versa. And the same could be said about you as well. So don't hate the training, okay? But that's what was marked out for you, to develop you in whatever area God wants to develop you. The race is definitely not a sprint. It's a marathon. As you saw in the picture earlier, the finish line is not always in sight. Even though we want to run as if it is. Okay? And then this race requires a sustained effort over a long period of time. And I don't have to tell you, you know, a lot of you, if you've lived any period of length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not easy. And dealing with certain people, places, jobs, the things that we encounter, finances and so forth, you know, our faith can be shaken just like those that the Hebrew writer was talking about. So let me give you a little bit of perspective. Perseverance or endurance is a necessary quality, and Jesus taught his disciples about the need for perseverance. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22, he says, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." You know, these individuals that the Hebrew writer was writing to, their faith was shaken because of what they were going through. But at the same time, you know, they were wondering about this coming Redeemer or Savior, if you will. And that could be said about each and every one of us today. You know, our faith can be shaken, okay? And I just want to say this too, you know, when I read this particular passage right here, they were being persecuted. One of the reasons, because of their affiliation or their belief in this coming Savior. We too can encounter the same thing. Everybody don't want to hear about this coming Savior. Everybody don't want to hear about your faith. Okay? It can be shaken. It can make you start to guess and wonder. But the encouragement here is, whether the persecution that you are encountering is social, whether it's cultural, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, affiliation, whatever the case may be, the encouragement is that you would endure until the end. And then the Hebrew writer also was teaching or talked to them about the need in Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. There's a promise that has been given to us. And you know, if I had time, I would love to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And there was some things that occurred when Adam and Eve in the garden, when they sinned, and there was a promise that was made. And according to scripture, this is one of the first promises or the inkling of a redeemer, a savior coming. Okay? And so if I had time to go into that and expound on it, I would tell you that, you know, God is faithful, and that if we remain faithful, there's a reward waiting for each and every one of us. And the encouragement to you is, no matter what you go through, just hang in there, endure, and trust God. And that I can't put enough emphasis on trust in God. I mean, it took a lot of trust to get here for me this morning, okay? So, perseverance. Christians can develop such patience with the help of God's word. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So I'm not going to stand here and just tell you, hey, just endure and just hang in there. But I'm going to tell you, here's one of the things that you can do to endure. And the Bible refers to the scriptures. You know, there are times when I'm going through my day and I'm having a rough patch, if you will. And sometimes I just stop and, you know, just quietly say a prayer to myself. But then there are times when I just have to pull myself into my office, close the door, and read a scripture. And this is pretty much what this passage is talking about. If we would lean on the scriptures, trust God, lean on the scriptures, this too would help us as we are walking or running this race of faith. Lord knows that there are going to be times and situations in each and every one of our lives that's going to challenge us, challenge our faith. But the encouragement here is to lean more on his word, okay? And then also, last but not least, well, I'm not going to say last, we need to focus on Jesus. We need to focus on Jesus. The Bible says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And so when you consider these running this race and a runner in a race whose focus is on that finish line, I want to encourage you that as Christians today, our finish line is Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we talk briefly about those individuals who made it to the Hall of Faith, and they are to be commended. But because of their efforts and because of the life that they led and the faith that they held on to. But I want to tell you that Jesus is our supreme example, because Jesus was given a mission to come to this earth and to die for your sins and mine and for all of humanity, and to face the criticism and the ridicule and all that he went through. He stood there and he stayed faithful to the mission to the end, all the way to the cross. And I want you to think about that for a moment. All the way to the cross. He stayed focused. And so every runner is we're taught to keep our eyes on Christ, but the Christian must keep his eyes on him also, because there are a lot of things that could come up. And let me just briefly read this to you. If you want to be distressed, all you have to do is look within. There's a lot of problems and issues, and now I'm speaking for me, in my life, that I don't have to look far if I want to be distressed. I got some other things that I am concerned with and I'm working through and so forth. But all I have to do to be distressed is to look within. If I want to be defeated, all I have to do is look back. I can remember when I wouldn't even consider standing here as a mouthpiece for the Lord, and considering the things that I've had to overcome to get to this point in my life. But I'm not looking back. I'm not going to be defeated. If you want to be distracted, all you have to do is look around. There's enough going on in this world right now. I mean, you know, to turn the news on is enough, okay? We have enough to keep us distressed until Jesus returns. But if you want to be delivered, look up. Look to Jesus. He's the supreme example. He stayed true to his mission, even to the cross, so that you and I may be able to enjoy a life, eternity, and glory with he and the Father. And so I want to just remind you also in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. There it reads, Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Christ has already run the race. He has already won. He's sitting at the right hand of glory now, and that is our example. That's our focus, okay? And so when we are bombarded with the things on this earth, the encouragement here is as much as we possibly can to focus on heavenly things. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and it was read to us in the reading earlier by Brother Riggs. He's already blazed the trail. He's already run the race. We've talked about that. But in Hebrews 4 and 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he's without sin. He's been tempted in every way, just like we are. Perfect example, but he didn't sin. And I want to remind you, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he despised what was happening to him, the way people were treating him, the ridicule, the persecution, and so forth. But he stayed true to the mission. And that's an encouragement for us today. As we go about our daily walk, we will encounter some of the same things. The Bible says that they hated him, therefore they're going to hate us as well. But stay the course. Stay the course. And then also I want to consider Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he is able to save and completely, to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. Jesus is a constant advocate for us. As we are fighting the fight here on this earth, he's fighting on our behalf in glory. He's advocating to the Father for each and every one of us. And so I want you to know that he's working behind the scenes on our behalf as well. And then last but not least, the other point I want to touch on is verse 3. And I want to read that one for emphasis. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This verse comes in the context which encourages each and every one of us, you, me, all of humanity, to remain steadfast and faithful in our walk, in our run, despite the hardships that we may encounter. When we encounter these hardships, we're encouraged to reflect on Jesus, the endurance that he experienced or exemplified, and there went, I'm not perfect, but we'll just, okay, good, thank you. Support. So reflect on Jesus and the endurance during his earthly life, particularly his suffering and the crucifixion. He faced immense hostility, ridicule, persecution from sinners, yet he remained faithful to his mission. And when you consider this word, consider at the beginning of the verse, it implies that we're deeply reflecting on Jesus' experiences, and we're able to draw strength from it. And that's the encouragement for us today. This was the encouragement for them when the Hebrew writer wrote this book. And this was relevant for those individuals who were being persecuted and criticized and ridiculed in that day and time. I'm hopeful that this lesson will speak to someone and encourage you as you are going through your race for faith and your spiritual walk, that you would just consider the scriptures, consider Jesus the supreme example, and that it would provide hope for you. At this time, I want to just stop for a moment and offer up before we offer up the song of invitation, I just want to give an invitation, because I know that there may be some in here in the sound of my voice in here that may have not given their life to Christ. And I want you to consider that, you know, you've heard the word this morning and you've heard some things that you have to consider whether or not you believe it or not. And if you so believe it, then you're inclined to repent. Turn from the world and the sins. Turn back to God. Make that ultimate confession that Jesus Christ is the one and only begotten Son of God. be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, and the water is warm today. But then to live faithful unto death, just as these examples that we have read about today, if you do those things, heaven can one day be your home as well. That's the encouragement. And for those of you who have already given your life to Christ and just may need prayer, may have sinned and fallen short, you have the opportunity to come forward as well as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.
Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that way on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that way on thee be ashamed. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Amen. Donnell, thank you so much for a great lesson. We're all proud of you, and I know the Lord's proud of you, man. Thank you for stepping up, stepping out. Man, that's just a great lesson. And something that is to all of our lives, is spoken into our lives. So I know Donnell's a very humble man, and he does not like any of the credit. But I want to say that I think that God is proud of what he has done today. And he uses the word God's manservant, and I feel like he did that today. Thank you, Donnell. Guys, this will be the closing song. This will be the song before our closing prayer. I had to sneak in one. I know probably next week we'll probably have a lot of Christmas songs, but this is my favorite, and I would be sad if I didn't get to sing this at least once before Christmas. As you guys know, I sing this all year, though. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.